As we're continuing to worship today, we're going to be reading a psalm, Psalm 115, and I encourage you to turn there. If you've got a Bible, I'll have it up on screen too, but we'll be talking through it. It starts with this incredible statement that I think anyone who's trying to be a strong Christian, they would say like, oh yeah, that's what I need to be about. So this is how it starts. There we go. So it says, "Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory." This statement gets echoed again in John chapter 3 by John the Baptist. He talks about, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. Jesus needs to become greater, I need to become less. But most of us know, most of us don't live this way. And maybe even you came into the room today and you think like, my life's about me, and that's how it's going to stay. I mean, maybe if you're honest with yourself. So what inspires somebody to really want to do this? Because some of us say like, yeah, I wish I was like that. So today we're going to be looking at this question to start us off about like, why do you praise God? Not why does somebody else do it, but why do you say God is worthy of your praise? So we're going to be digging into that question here a little later, and then that is going to, I think, lead us into this idea of what should we do about it? If God's worthy of our praise, what should we be doing? And then the final little story I'm going to tell you about is going to be about how do we actually carry that out? How do we actually make the changes we want to make? So this idea, why do you praise God? We're going to look at this psalm, and it's somebody else's song, but maybe it can give you some inspiration about why you should praise him, okay? So we're going to be looking at what this guy said in his song about it. And this series that we're doing, we're leading up to Easter. We're leading up to the time where Jesus died on a cross because he wanted to make a way for us to get to God. Right before he died on that cross, literally a matter of hours before, he celebrated Passover with his disciples. And it's likely they sang the song we're going to be singing or reading today. It's likely they sang that and a few others. That's what we're looking at. What are the songs that Jesus sang before getting betrayed, before going to the cross? Okay, so we'll kind of read through that lens. But let's go ahead and read this psalm. So it says, "Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory." And for this guy, right off the bat, there's two reasons he's praising God. It's because of your love and your faithfulness. Okay, we'll come back to that idea of love and faithfulness here after a little while. But like anybody who's really sold out for God, other people push back against this guy. So he says, why do the nations say, where is their God? This guy's been trying to live for God, and other people have said, like, your God's not real, or your God's not a big deal. And in his day, most of the people around him, they worshiped these little idols. You know, they'd make these little statues or these big statues, and they'd bow down to it. Yeah. So they would say, where's your God? You don't have any big statue of your God. So this is what he had to say to them. He kind of pushes back against them. He says, our God's in heaven. This idea of like, you can't just go show up to our God. Like, our God's in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. And then he pushes back against idols people in his day were following. Now, before we get into what he says about the idols here, think about, there's a lot of things that people give their life to that isn't Jesus. Most people don't give their lives to little golden statues now, but a lot of people spend all their adoration, all their praise on some person or some celebrity, on some idea. A lot of people spend all their effort towards getting some substance, towards getting something. When you give yourself over for something, that's your worship. When you say, my life is about this, I'm going to sacrifice my relationship with my kids, or I'm going to sacrifice all my time or whatever it is to get this thing or to get this person. That's your act of worship. So here's what he says about what they were worshiping. He says, but their idols are silver and gold made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. And he's on a rift here, so he's going to keep going. Okay, see how the voice says, they have hands, but they can't feel. They have feet, but they can't walk. Nor can they utter a sound with their throats. His big point here is, the thing you worship, if it's not God, it's dead, or it's headed towards death, okay? It's not going anywhere that's positive. And we've maybe discovered that for ourselves. If you follow something that's not Jesus, a lot of times you find out it didn't speak up for me when I needed it. It didn't walk to come get me when I needed him or her or whatever. It didn't show up for me. It didn't feel for me when I was hurting. The stuff we worship that isn't God, it doesn't live up to what God does. This one's a big statement. Those who make these idols will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. We're going to come back around to that statement, but what he's saying is if you spend your time, if you put yourself into something, if you worship it, what you can expect in life is to become like that thing. So if you spend all your time and your money and whatever trying to get over on people or trying to get some big house or whatever, like, that big house is going to decay and not last. And guess what's going to happen, like, to you as you spend all yourself to that? Like, whatever thing you're shooting for, whatever thing you worship, that's the thing you're going to become. You're going to become like it. But then he starts talking about how good God is. He says, all you Israelites, those were his people, he says, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. Then he opens it up really broad. All who fear him, all who respect God, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. So why does this guy praise God? Another reason we see is that God's worthy of trust. And when we trust him, he helps us. A lot of things we trust and it doesn't help us. But when we trust God, he helps us. Why else do we praise God? He says, the Lord remembers us. I don't know of anything, there's really painful stuff you can go in life, but it's super painful to need somebody and they don't remember you. But God remembers us and he will bless us. He will bless his people Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. Another reason to praise God. God's no respecter of like, ooh, you're a big deal, so I don't care about this little guy. Or you're the right race or the wrong race or something like that. For God, it's open. It's about how do you respond to me. That's all God cares about. May the Lord cause you to flourish, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Another reason to praise him. He's creator. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind. He's been generous. Everything we have is derived from things that God gave us. It is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to the place of silence. It is we who extol the Lord both now and forevermore, this hope of eternal life. And it says, praise the Lord. So you see, he has a lot of reasons that he praises God. Remember I talked about we're going to get to the spot where why do you praise God? I want to give you, I've got only three more slides for you, but we're going to kind of go slow through them. The very first slide I want to show you is a little tip before we get to praising God. So how many, I know people don't send cards in the mail very often, but can you think back, you still get thank you cards on occasion? Someone hands you a card or something? Occasionally people, yeah? How many people want to get a card that says, thank you, you did a good job, over a card that says, like, thank you, Arthur, for, you know, all your help with the technology. When you fixed the computer, it was so great, and it allowed us to have a great event or whatever. Like, which card is better? Obviously, the specific one. And this one's a freebie, has nothing to do with the lesson, but, like, husbands, if you want to put a smile on your wife's face today, don't just say, like, I love you, babe. Say, I love you, babe, because, and say something specific, even if it's something stupid, or even if it's small, even if it's like, man, you know, you're, yesterday, I told Christy, like, how awesome her eyelashes look. Like, I don't really understand how she gets them to look that way. So, like, that's way better than, like, Christy, you look pretty. Even though it's silly, even though it's small and petty. To just get specific. People love that. And it's not just wives that love that. Like, people love specific things. It shows you listened. It shows you paid attention. It shows you noticed. Why do we think God is any different? Like, God wants a relationship with us. So don't just say, like, God, you're great. Say, like, God, I love you because. So I'm going to help you with the because thing there, because that might be new to us. So all of us have two hands, I think. I apologize if we have somebody here without two hands, but stick with me on that. So with your dominant hand, so for me it's my right hand. With your dominant hand, stick your thumb up, okay, everybody. Thank you guys who are participating. I know now which ones are listening. Okay, so everyone's got to keep your thumb up. I've only got one usable hand because of the mic. So keep this thumb up. Then with your non-dominant hand, for me it's my left, put your pinky up. So you got two hands up. Okay. So now what I want you to do is there's lots of really, really big reasons to praise God. Like, God, you created the whole universe. God, Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. Jesus, you rose from the dead. There's big things God does. And I want you to think about what's a big thing that you love God for. So, for instance, my mentor, Joey, used to say, I love God because he's the only one who keeps all of his promises. I mean, that's a big thing, okay? So when you think of a big thing that you love about God, go ahead and put your thumb down, okay? Then I know we're ready to move on to step two. So keep your pinky up, but put your thumb down. When you've all thought of your specific thing. If I go, I'm not going to do this, but if I went with the mic, you'd be able to tell me, like, my thumb, my big thing was this. Okay. Ernie's still thinking. Ernie, you got three fingers up, man. What are you doing over there? Okay. So, okay, now with your pinky, Gary's ready to go. He's like, let's do this. So with the pinky, I want you to think of something small that God did that you love. So it could be just a little prayer that he answered yesterday or something. Something that's a small detail. Maybe it was a sunrise this morning. Maybe he helped you. I had a lady in first service tell me that she had all this stuff to do for titling a car, and it seemed like it was going to be a disaster, and she prayed and got all done within an hour. And that was her pinky thing. It was like, so cool that God helped me with that. So once you think that through that, put your pinky down, okay? Jared's still thinking. Just think of something small that you've done. No, it's okay. Sorry. Yeah, everyone's like, look out now. Jake knows if I'm listening or not now. This is scary territory. Okay, so everyone's got a big thing and a small thing, right? So we didn't do this in first service, but we got enough time here, actually second service. So we're all about praising God. We could do that through song. Another way you can do that, though, is just, I love it. Talk about Christian again. It's really cool when we're standing in a circle of people and my wife says something that I did good, like in front of other people. It just makes me feel good, whether that's my own stupid pride or whatever, you know, but it feels nice to have someone say something good about you to other people. So let's do that right now. Turn to somebody next to you and tell them your thumb or your pinky thing that you love about God. Okay, so brag on Jesus with somebody near you or multiple people if you want.
Thing was, Jesus is trustworthy. Like, whenever I take something, I say, like, Jesus, I'm going to trust you with this time or with this thing that's hard for me to give up. I never regret it.
Aww.
It's like, oh, wow, God, you took such good care of that. I was thinking about that just the other day. Like, different stage in my life where I turned to God and said, hey, God, I can't do this on my own. It's all you. He's always trustworthy.
Okay. You guys are into it. I like that. So we're going to wrap it up for right now. I will tell you, church is going to end at noon, but you know, you don't have to just rush out of here, you know. Cairo starts at 3, okay? So you got to get out of here by 3, but you got time to brag on Jesus, you know, if you want to stick around or you want to go out to lunch and talk about what your pinky thing was or whatever, you know. So, okay. So I promised you that there'd be two more slides, and we're going to take this thing a little further. So remember with the psalm, I was saying that Jesus probably sang that before he went to the cross. And when I was reading Psalm 115 a bunch this week, and I was thinking about Jesus saying this stuff about God, but then how he's living it out by going to the cross. So right off that very first verse, it says, not to me, but to God be the glory because of God's love and faithfulness. But when I think about Jesus, what was Jesus all about? Love and faithfulness. So let's think about this a little bit. For instance, Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. In John chapter 10, verse 11, he says, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. And then he goes on to describe a hired hand, somebody you might hire out to say, like, hey, can you watch my sheep? That sort of person is not going to get mauled by a wolf to protect your sheep for the 10 bucks or whatever that you paid him. Jesus says, I'm not like that. I don't run. I don't abandon the sheep. I lay my life down to protect them. And Jesus did that for us. Like, that wasn't talking about it. Like, he did it. And so God, Jesus praised God about, like, God, you're loving and faithful. But then when he got done singing, he went out and acted loving and faithful. And that theme carries throughout the Gospels. If you'll read the Gospels, you'll see this all over the place. If Jesus says, I don't speak on my own, I only say the things that I've heard God say. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, it comes up over and over. Why should we love our enemies? The reason he gives to loving our enemies is super hard to do. He says, because God is good to people, no matter how they treat him. God sends the rain on people, whether they're good or bad. God sends the sunshine, whether they're good or bad. Because God acts like that, we should act like that. That's the point of Jesus' sermon. And also during that sermon, he says, God's perfect. That's why I'm holding you guys to this perfection goal. Like, we should try to be like God. Not in this, like, diabolical, like, look at me, I'm powerful. But in this idea of, like, I want to be a little version of who Jesus is. The word Christian, it originally started as like a making fun of people who were following Jesus. It was like this tagline of, like, little Christ or little Messiah. So they were saying, like, oh, you think you're the little Savior, is basically kind of what they were calling people when they called him Christian. Like, you're going around trying to help people. But Christians said, like, yeah, that is what we're trying to do. Like, that's the best compliment we could get, is I'm a little Jesus. You know, like, as we go through life, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means I know Jesus, and I'm a little version of him. Okay? So when we follow Jesus' example, first we praise God. Jesus spent a lot of time alone with God. But then when we're done with time alone with God, the right response to that is to go out and do the things we saw in God. Now let me take this a little further. You guys have put your thumb up about something, and you put your pinky up about something. What if you went out this afternoon and you tried to imitate that theme that was your thumb or was your pinky thing? And this could be kind of hard to think through, but like in my example with my mentor, he said, I love Jesus because he's the only one who keeps all of his promises. What if then you said, like, today, man, I'm going to do all the things that I've been saying I'm going to do. And that might be a big list, but I mean, at least you start somewhere, okay? I'm going to start trying to be the person I see Jesus as. Or maybe the big thing was Jesus forgives everybody. When they ask for forgiveness, he starts fresh with them. It's Jesus has expectations, but he doesn't want to hurt people who hurt him. And that's what most of us want to do. So what if you just said, in my household, maybe we'll just make it smaller, okay? Just in my household, I'm going to try to forgive somebody the way Jesus forgave me. Like, wouldn't that be a good way to spend the rest of your day? Like, don't you think Jesus would say, like, yeah, you don't have to do 1,000 things different. How about you just look at me, praise me for one thing, and then try that today? Think a little creatively, too, like the person who was telling me in first service, they're like, well, my pinky was, God helped me get this title for my car, and he did all this stuff in an hour. I don't understand how I can do that. Well, you don't need to go get a job at the DMV or something and start working deals for people. I mean, the thing you need to do is say, like, I went to God with a need. And maybe it was even a petty thing of, like, I just wanted it to go fast. And God came through in a bigger way than I expected. What if when someone comes to you with a need, you say, like, I'm gonna help, and not just a little bit, I'm gonna shock you with how good it is. Like, what if that was your goal for the day? You said, like, Jesus, I love how generous you were with me. Show me one person to have that sort of generosity with today. Like, do you see how at the end of the week, if you did that every day this week, you see how you'd be more like Jesus at the end of the week? At the very least, you'd fail a bunch and be coming back to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm so terrible. Like, I tried to forgive people today, and I got so mad and I yelled at somebody. Like, at least you're making movement, you know? At least you're coming to Jesus and working on something. Because a lot of us, we think, Jesus, you're great, and then we just keep living our own way. And we think, like, I got all these dreams and stuff I'm chasing, and I'm just trying to make sure I don't lie and I don't cheat and I don't steal while I do this stuff. That's not what it means to be a Christian. Like, that's a lot of other religions talk that way. Hey, don't do this list. Christianity is different. Christianity is have a relationship with the one who made you and then go be like him. And you can't do it on your own. You got to keep asking him for help. But that's what it is. And so the very things that you praise him for are the things you should start trying to imitate. Now, you hear all this and you think, like, Jake, you only have one more slide. And, like, I don't know. I'm not ready to go out and start doing all this stuff that you're talking about. So good luck, you know, your last slide. So I got a story for you, and we'll see if it carries you through or not. Okay, so, oops, we're backwards. So this is Blue Springs Lake Marina, and I started working there when I was 16 as a dockhand. So Blue Springs Lake Marina, like, a dockhand is like the perfect teenage boy job. Like, you run out to the gas dock and, like, gas up boats, and you rent out pontoon boats, and you sweep up after geese poop, and, like, just run around on the dock a bunch doing random stuff. So great job. But when I started it, I didn't know a lot about boats. And my very first day at work, you know, I'm 16, and Stroop, this other dockhand, is there. And Stroop is, like, early 20s. He'd been a dockhand for, like, 5 years. And when you're in your middle teens, you know, the only people you really, you know, naturally respect are maybe people about 5 years older than you. You know, early 20s is about as far as it goes, you know, before it's like, they don't know anything, you know. But so this guy was in, like, the golden era of, or, like, you know, oh, you're 21, like, you're cool, you know. So so Stroop and I are there. We're sitting actually right behind that window. It's on the left. It doesn't matter, but we're sitting there. Boat comes in, a rental boat comes in, and somebody says it needs a new prop, is what someone says, or we need to change the prop, something like that. And so Stroop and I go out to go do this, and I'm expecting to, like, just watch him do stuff. I don't even know what they're talking about when they say prop. When I get out there, I realize, like, oh, that's a propeller. Like, that's what prop is, short for propeller, probably. So that's the state that I'm at, like, as a brand new dockhand. So Stroop pulls up this motor. There's the prop that has, like, almost no fins left on it. And Stroop's like, okay, Jake, you're going to change the prop. And I'm like, I just learned what prop means. Like, as you lifted it up, I've connected the dots. I'm like, what does he mean? You know, like, what that means. I don't know what I'm doing. So he tells me what to do, though. So I lay down, you know, on the dock with a pair of pliers, and I learn what a cotter pin is, which I didn't know at the time, you know. So you got to bend this little pin, pull that out, undo a bolt, pull the prop off, then just reverse the steps, basically, you know, and finish with the cotter pin getting bent up. So learned how to do all that. And then over the course of the summer, just as stuff comes up, if Stroop and I were ever working together, which he was my favorite person to work with, I'd just do whatever he told me to do. Because he knew everything when it came to being a dockhand. Like, he was a good dockhand. So guess what happened since he was a good dockhand and I trusted him enough to just do everything he told me to do? Like, new people come to the marina every year and are working. And so pretty soon, I was kind of shocked that, like, I was the dockhand who knew how to do everything and was showing other people how to do everything. I was like, how did this happen? But it's a really simple formula. Like, it works in every area of life. Like, if you trust someone good and you do what they say, you become good. Like, whether it's at guitar or whether it's at being a dockhand or whether it's at following Jesus. You become like the ones that you put your trust in. Now, if I'd gone as a dockhand, and even though I didn't know what a prop was, if I thought I knew how to do things, if I didn't listen to Stroop, I wouldn't have really done so well. And some of us in here, we have a hard time doing the things Jesus wants us to do because we don't listen very good. I went in with this totally, like, I don't know what to do. I'm going to do whatever you tell me. And that was the right attitude to have. And imagine if tomorrow you read the Bible, and let's just read, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Read a gospel. Just a little bit. and be looking for something big Jesus does, a thumb thing, that you think like, wow, that's awesome that Jesus did it. And look for something small that he did, like a pinky thing. And think like, oh, that's really cool too, that you noticed that person. Or that you thanked God before you ate. It's a small thing, but that's cool that you did that. And then I'll be nice even. You don't even have to do both of them. What if you just said, I'm going to try to do one of those two things? One of the things I saw Jesus do, I'm going to try to do that sort of thing today. At the end of the week, you're going to be a better Christian. You're going to be a better little Christ. Just the process of thinking about specifics about how good God is, how good Jesus is, it's going to make you fall in love with Jesus more every day. If you're in love with him more every day, and then you're saying, Jesus, help me do that sort of stuff, then nothing can stop you. That's what Jesus talks about in John 15, where he says, like, remain in me, and I'll remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. Like, your life will matter. So, if you showed up today and you wanted, like, some brand new idea or some, like, surefire thing, like, doesn't take a genius to come up with this stuff. This is really simple. But this is really what Christianity is. Like, it's loving Jesus, and then it's doing the things that Jesus does. You can't have one without the other. If you think, like, I got a really good relationship with Jesus, but I haven't been imitating him, like, then you don't. Like, he says, like, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And if you think, like, I'm doing all this good stuff, listen to this, I'm doing all this good stuff, but I can't remember the last time I just sat around thinking how much I love Jesus. I can't remember the last time I talked about Jesus's eyelashes or something. I mean, not that, but I mean, like, I can't remember the last thing that, like, where I had, like, this little love moment with Jesus. I can't remember the last quality time I had where it was just about me and Jesus, not about fixing the furnace or not about saving somebody in need. If you don't have any love moments with Jesus, then you're hurting. Whatever's in the way of that isn't worth it. So, if you want to be a good dockhand, do what Stroop does. I'd even be prideful and say, like, do the things I used to do. You know, like, you'll become a good dockhand. If you want to be a good Christian, look at Jesus every day and then do something that Jesus did. Don't try to do 1,000 things. Try to just do one thing that he did. Here's the awesome thing is that Jesus isn't dead. Jesus is alive. You don't have to do this by yourself. And so I'm going to pray a blessing. It's really simple, just that Jesus would be with you. If you try this, that Jesus would be with you. Let's pray. Jesus, there's folks in this room that are going to walk out and they're going to forget. But there's other people in this room that they're ready to do the things they see you doing. And so Jesus, I pray today you would show them something that's great about you. And I pray you'd be with them to give them opportunities to do that thing. And I pray every day this week you'd show up and work with them to be more like you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.